As Pastor Vic has already read the passage of the Bible in Matthew chapter 2, this is what we're going to focus on today, and I entitled my sermon today, The Beauty of Worship and Giving. I kind of struggle a little bit with this topic because whenever we as a servant of God, when we talk about giving, it's not easy topic, but I'm not here to emphasize much about giving, but I'm talking about the beauty of worship and giving, the beauty of worship and giving as found in the context of the Bible in Matthew chapter 2. I feel like we pray again. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful day, the 26th December 2021, a unique day, a good day, the day that the Lord has made. We are glad and rejoicing in your presence. Lord, you've chosen this day so that we can be here. And thank you that you also has given me the opportunity to stand before your people. Not to me, not to us, but to you be the all the glory, O Lord God. May you convey your message to your people. May you give us, O Lord God, the daily bread. May you use me as a vessel. Or may you increase, O Lord God, as I decrease. I ask you to guide us from now to the end of the sermon. Holy Spirit, thank you. We thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 One of the things that was not joyful for my Christmas is because I don't know, I try much not to think about my mother, but it came because every Christmas what I always used to do was calling her in the week of the Christmas and singing the carols together on the phone. She really liked God, and then we were singing. But this week, it was hard because there was no one to call. And I tried much not to think about her, but it was coming. So, but overall, I thank God for what God has done. And also, I'm grateful to be here. This being said, our topic, as I said, the beauty of worship and giving. And in Matthew chapter 2, 1 to 12, when you take your time to read this passage, you find in chapter 2 that when I was doing my study in the book of the version which is called NKJV, New King James Version, it says here that that event of chapter 2 probably took place some month after Jesus' birth. Not right in the same week, but some month after. There were many reasons to say that because, number one, here in verse 11, we find that Joseph and Mary were living in a house, not in a manger. So that means it was a couple of days later. And not only that, the second reason is here, verse 11 again. The Bible says here, Jesus is referred to as a child, not an infant. And also verse 16, it says that Herod murdered all the male children, 2 years old and under. So you see, the event took place when the magic came. It was a couple of days later. It's not the same day when the Lord Jesus was born, according to the commentary of the Bible that I read. Now, in the chapter 2, from that passage 1 to verse 1 to 12, the Bible here brings an important point about the wise man who came from the east, the wise men or the magi who came from the east. Who were them? How many were them? That's not exactly what we're going to focus about here. But as I said, our focus is on the worshiping part, worship and giving. So we don't have time to go deep about who were them, how many of them were there, because this is not on our topic today. We are talking about to worship God. When we talk about worshiping God, this is a common word we always use, like worship service, like we're going to worship God, and this is an important thing. Now, it means to give honor, to give respect, adoration, to praise, to worship God. This is a very important thing for in the Christian life, because this is why we are made for. We are made to worship God, and we come here to worship him. And he is delighted when we worship him. Worship is a big subject in the Bible. Very, very important. In Revelation chapter 14, sorry, chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, "You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." That's the reason why we worship him. He is the creator of everything we can see. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to 5, the Lord was telling the children of Israel through Moses, "You should not worship other idols, but only worship God." I remember Jesus, when he was tempted, three times he responded to Satan. One of the responses he said, Jesus told Satan, "Away from me, Satan. It is written that you will worship God and serve him alone." So worship is an important part in Christian life. It's connected with the preparation that we see here in the book of Matthew chapter 2. The Bible says, they came from the east. So it means they prepared themselves. They had time to travel from long trip. In the spiritual realm, it means they have preparation. There's the preparation for worship. They prepared themselves. They had to face a lot of obstacles, like discouragement sometimes. They had to encounter with Herod. So that is they have to overcome all those things in order to go and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. True worship doesn't start just here on Sunday. We just don't come here and worship God here on Sunday. It starts from home. It starts from far. In your heart, you prepare yourself. You come here, your heart is already prepared to worship God. The Bible says they came from the east. They came to seek the child, and they came to worship the child, Jesus Christ. They followed the star until where the child was. Here I see the determination, the purpose. They were decided to follow the star. Where is the star? The scholars say they were astrologers. They studied about stars. They had to follow the star to be making sure that they are following the star. They see the star. When the star disappears, they stop. They wait until when they see the star, and they were delighted. And here we see again, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. This is a very powerful statement here. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. So worshiping or worship is connected with joy. When they saw the star standing at the place where Jesus was born, and they entered in the house, before even they entered the house, they was exceedingly happy. They were rejoicing because they know that is the place. So worship is connected with the joy, with the happiness in your heart. Now the Bible says in Psalm 100 verse 1, worship the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Worship is connected with joy. Although also there is, people have totally different way of expressing their time of worshiping. Others are crying. Some are rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. But worship is also include the joy. You come to the presence of God with joy. They were happy to see the star. They were happy to see the star standing at the place and to find the Son of God who was born. When they saw the child, the Bible say, with Mary. I don't see here Joseph, but they say when they saw the child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshiped him. Two things important here. They saw the child and they worship him. They didn't worship Mary. They didn't worship Joseph. They worship the Son of God. Now, when we talk here about they fell down, I took my time to think about this. They fell down to do so. I see here the posture. In Greek, it's a worship itself. They fell down and worship Jesus. I ask my question here, does really posture matter in worship? Are there other gestures during worship time? is position important? Is our body position important when we do worship God? Here they say they fell down and worship. Let us take a look on our physical position. In some culture, you bend your knees to greet an authority, a superior or an older person, like my culture as well. You bend the knees, you support your right hand with your left hand when you want to greet a superior. In 2014, I remember, and my wife will recall that, we had a friend of us who came from Duncan, not Duncan of Mountain View Fellowship Christian, but Duncan is in, I think, Vancouver Island. Duncan is one of the city there in Vancouver Island. So we had a friend of us who came from Duncan. He's a real good friend of us, and he came to our place there. He spent almost 3 weeks. The reason was we came to realize later that he was dating a Christian girl, and then he hid himself at our place. And then we discovered that the reason was he wanted to share time with us praying together, and he's a good man. And he's a very accountable guy, and he wanted to pray together. And also he shared to me, hey, you know what, Sammy, pray for me, seek if the will of God for me to marry this girl. But that's not the point. The point is, every morning when my children wake up, they greet me. It's just a good behavior, a good etiquette, a good way of family life. So they say, they greet me, they call me Atoki, Yeshua Simu, it means praise the Lord. That's why they say, Orerota, how are you? So the way they do it, they bend a little bit, you know, to greet me. Like they come, they say, Yeshua Simu. And then this fellow of mine, a white guy, sorry to say that. when he saw that, repetitively, every day, he noticed it. And then one day, he called me. He said, hey, I want to talk to you. We went outside and said, hey, Sammy, am I wrong? I said, what? I said, I've been in your place for 3 weeks. I've never bent to you. I said, what? I said, am I wrong? I said, what? I said, well, I see every day your children, they bend. I said, no, they're not bending to worship me. They are greeting. That's just a culture thing. It's just a posture. So, oh, I thought I was wrong. I wanted to just apologize that I didn't bow to you. I said, no, you don't need to do that to me. So what am I saying this? When we find here, the Bible says those wise men, when they came at the place, they fell down to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it important for us to fall down to worship God? If God is spirit and we only have to worship him in the spirit and truth, is it really important for us to go down? We see the wise people, they went down, they fell down to worship the Lord. Another one I also remember, joining Vancouver leaders at prayer. There is a group of prayerful pastors who they pray once in a year sometime, and then they invited me to come there. Then I was there in the meeting, and I fell down. I lay on my stomach down. I was praying and crying and talking to God and worshiping him. Before I knew, when I opened my eyes, all the pastors surrounded me said, Sammy, are you okay? Should we call ambulance? Is everything okay? I was just crying. They saw tears. I was crying. And then they said, are you okay? You need attention, medical attention? I said, no, I'm just praying. I'm just worshiping God. Yes, yeah, so it means sometimes we don't take much consideration in the posture or the outward position about worshiping God, which is okay. But here we find in the Bible, the wise man, they fell down. We see here, they fell down to worship Jesus. So perhaps posture matters even in our culture, in our society, and then we don't understand. We don't put more consideration. Let's take an example, for example. When a young man meets a young woman that he wants to impress, what does he do? He stands up straight, shoulders back. He maintains eyes contact and smile. Oh, yeah. Now, listen to this. When he wants to propose, what does he do? He gets down on one knee.
when he has messed up, what does he do? He go down on both knees to apologize. Look at this. If your children want you to hold them or lavish affection on them, what do? They raise both arms to show you that I need a hug. If someone points a gun at you, what do? Your hands go up. You raise them to surrender. So it's just to show that even in our culture, even in our society, the posture, the body movement, the posture mean a lot. So we see here the wise people, they fell down to worship our Lord God. So is it important for us when we worship God to fall down or to worship or go on our knees? This question is to you to answer. It's up to you. But let me tell you, God is spirit, and he wants to worship in the spirit and truth. Our body naturally acts the way our heart feels. So we see encouragement throughout the Bible, through the scripture, to bow humbly, to raise hand joyfully, to shout or sing loudly, to clap hand and even dance before the Lord. That's the beauty of worship. So even here at Mountain View, I'm so glad, because the first time when I came, it was the 19th Avenue, I came there. I remember the sermon Pastor Vic was preaching. It was a Christmas time, by the way. And he was preaching about, he was talking much about Mary. And I was blessed. I really was blessed. And then in the worship time, I saw people clapping. I said, oh, this is my place here. Then I went back home. I told my wife, I found a church. I'll be coming there. And I like Vicky's teaching. I like them. He preaches good. He teaches good. So we see in the Bible, the Bible gives us a lot of rooms, a lot of opportunities when we worship, to clap, to worship, to lift hands, to fall down. You know, it's how the Holy Spirit leads you. It has to be led by God, led by the Spirit of God. Not just to impress people, but it has to come from God. So in worship, we give God our hearts, our smiles, sometimes with our arms raised or our knees bent. We should not forget that God wants more than just our shout or our songs. He wants more than just our theological intellect. He wants all of us. The Bible says, John chapter 4, 24, God is spirit, and he who worship him ought to worship in the spirit and truth. So they fell down. They worship Jesus. Let's clap for God for that. I just feel happy that they fell down. The wise people went down and they worship the Lord. Hey, don't restrain yourself. Don't resist when the Holy Spirit wants you to go down and worship God. Don't resist. It's good. When you feel like kneeling, you know, by your bed and kneeling and worship and lift your hand, do it. It's good. It has to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not just to be copying what people are doing, but it has to be led by God and the Spirit of God leading you. When you feel it, do it. It's for the glory of God. Hallelujah. So after they've fell down and worshiped the Lord, the Bible says they opened their treasure and gave gifts. That's the part number two. Number one, they worshiped. Number two, they opened the treasures and they gave gifts. What did they give? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't know if I pronounced it well. I'm sorry. But they say they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So it means they were prepared, as I said. When they went to see Jesus, they were prepared. Worship requires preparation. You just don't go to church without you prepare your heart. Most of the time, we prepare ourselves on the Sunday special, which we have Lord's Supper. No, it has to be every Sunday, every day. As a matter of fact, when you come, you approach, you draw near God. You prepare your heart. You prepare your heart. So they were prepared. They had gifts prepared to come to give to the Lord Jesus. What did you get for Christmas gift? Don't tell me. I know you got a lot of gift there. But remember, they prepare to bring to Jesus gift. That's the heart of worship. They prepare themselves. No one pushed them. No one constrained them. No one asked them to do so. They fell in their heart. We are going to meet the Lord. We have to prepare something as a gift to bring to the Lord Jesus. So the text says that they opened their treasures and offered gifts. must also assume from this passage that because three gifts are mentioned, that there were only three wise men. However, the Bible never says such a thing. We have no record as to the number of wise men that came. They gave gold, which is a good price, which is expensive. They gave frankincense, and also they gave myrrh. And all those three gifts were very important because they mean a lot. They have a lot of meaning theologically and biblically. So the question comes, why does giving fill us with joy? Because they were happy to do that. Why do we have to be happy in our giving? We saw they were happy and they worshiped God. And here we see also they happily open the treasure and give to God. Giving fills our heart with joy because it's an expression of obedience, generosity, and love to God. They were happy because they felt an opportunity. They saw an opportunity to see the Lord, and they wanted to partake in that blessing and to worship God and also giving to God. In the Bible, we see people also who mix their worship with giving. Like in the book of Acts chapter 10, the man called Cornelius, he was a prayerful man. He was praying and giving. Praying and giving. So we see the giving, the worship and giving go together. There is a connection of giving and worship. In the Bible, God's people from the Old Testament to the New Testament almost did the same thing. They mixed worship and generosity, worship and giving. And it looks like, listen to this, it looks like no true God worshiper has problem with giving. It looks like the spirit of worshiping God has power to release in us the power of giving. Giving touches God's heart. Remember that lady who came to Simeon without an invitation, the Canaanite, the sinful lady. When she came, she sat by the feet of Jesus. She took frankincense and she started anointing Jesus. And then the Bible says the owner of the place, Simeon, was mad. So I wish if this man was a prophet, he would have known what kind of person is this lady. And what did Jesus say? He said, no, I came to your place. You didn't kiss me. You didn't wash my feet. But since I'm here, the lady has been, she has not stopped washing my hair with So it means when we come to God and we open to worship him, also, it releases in us the heart of giving. It releases in us the heart of partaking in the kingdom of God with also our belongings or what we have. In my Bible, I found something so funny. Maybe you're going to like it. The Bible says, Jesus, one time in the synagogue, he sat down, and people when they were giving their offering, he spotted that the widow lady gave more than them. It means he sat to the place which was close to the basket, the offering basket. Let's clap for Jesus. I love that. It's not easy that Vicky can come and sit there. Where is the basket or where is the offering basket? And then Vicky sits there and you just watch who's giving what. Jesus sat there and he saw people giving. And then he said, among all those who have donated here, this lady gave more because she gave from her heart. So it means giving is part of worship. Giving is important. It touches the heart of God. Not only that, in the New Testament, again, here, something so funny is here. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35, take your time and read. The Bible says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possession was their own, But they shared everything they had with great power. The apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. Now listen to this, in them all, that there were no needy persons among them, for from this time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales. Now listen, verse 35, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Where did they put them? At the apostles' feet. Giving is very important in Christian life. It's mostly connected with worship. The Lord Jesus told someone who wanted to follow him, he said, hey, go back, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and then come follow me. Give is part of worship. The wise men, after they fell down, then they opened their treasures and they donated, they gave gifts to the Lord. It's part of worship. Giving proves genuine love. The Bible says we should not only love with words or speeches, but with action and truth. Giving is part of worship. They say in English, you can give without love, but you cannot love someone without giving. Am I right? You can give without love, but you cannot love someone without giving. So it's important to know as Christian that giving is totally connected with worship. And when we come to God and we become children of God, he also wants us to learn to give. And giving is a part of worship. I want to finish by this, what Paul said to the church of Philippians when he was talking here. Especially, this is a passage especially to support the mission work. He said here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 to 17, take your time, read it. He said, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. Verse 16. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Verse 17. Listen to this. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your accounts. Hallelujah. I love this. That it will be credited to your accounts. Oh, I love this. As I told you in the beginning, I started talking about my mother. When my mother was struggling with her end time to leave the world, I was not there. But I followed everything because I was not even sleeping. I can literally say I was in Africa. I was following everything. We took her to the hospital here and there and there. Everything she was saying, I was listening, I was asking. And then one of the things that has really touched me, and that I didn't want to stop without sharing this to you because I love you guys. You know, this is my church. This is my family here. One of the things my mother said, because she was going to the coma and then come back. She was going to the coma and then come back. So one of the things when she came back from the coma, she said, she came up, she said, hey, I saw my house. I saw my house. But I didn't see my uncle. And then she went back to the coma. And then when I realized that, and then we talked with my brother, I said, well, she said she saw her house, but she didn't see her uncle. Paul is saying here, I want this to be part of you, that be credited to your account. Now, let's put ourselves in this time and think together. If we have houses in heaven, How do you think your house look like? I say if. I don't say you have it or you don't have it, but if there is houses in heaven, how does your house look like? That's the question I ask myself. What kind of house she saw there? What is that house? What did Jesus say? Don't put your treasures where? Where, church? Why? But put your treasures where your heart will be. So giving is your heart. And it's connected with your heart. And worship is connected with your heart. That's why giving and worship go together. And we still have enough chance, as we still own this dunya, this life, this world, to worship God and to give. And let me tell you, don't allow anyone to stop you giving to God. You ask me why? Because if you not be there one day, your children will still give what you didn't want to give. I don't say you should not worry about your children and save for them. Save for them. But don't forget, your ministry is to worship God and to give to God. They opened the treasures. They gave to God. They gave to Jesus the gifts, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we, as children of God, we are called to worship him. And we are called to give, to support the work of our Father, to support the ministry, to support missionaries. How is your account in 2021? How was your giving in 2021? I told you in the beginning, teaching about giving is so frustrating, even for the pastors. But if we don't tell you, who's going to tell you? If we don't share with you, who's going to share with you? It's our role, it's our duty to say that it is our ability to give to God to support his work. I'm glad I'm in a good church because this church is a mission-oriented church. We support missionaries from different countries. I always read the bulletin every week, and that is good. We should not give up. And I say congratulations. Bravo for those who are supporting. Thank you. You're doing a good job. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Keep doing the work of God. Giving is part of worship. He said here, not that I desire a gift. What I desire is that more be credited to your account, to your heavenly account, to your earthly account. And that is what God wants you to do. To worship him and to give, to support his work. Now that you're saved, you're a child of God, you care about your Father's business more than any other business. And he count on you. He count on us. He has blessed us. It is our all. It's not a burden. It is a privilege to serve God. It is a privilege to give to God. May God help you. May God help all of us as we are going to the end of this year. May we worship him in the spirit and truth. And may we be a generous people possible to give to our Lord Jesus Christ, who left everything in heaven, his glory, he came down to seek and save us. But most of all, let us give him our heart. Let us give him our heart so that we can worship him in the spirit and truth. I want to close by telling you that one day, my daughter Ruth, you know Ruth, she asked me a very challenging question. You know, children see, they have eyes. She said, "Dad," I said, "Yeah." "You remember that?" I said, "What?" I said, "You know, in Africa, people used to give cars, they give the key cars, this is for God, they give house. They give cows. Do you remember that?" I said, "Yeah, I remember that." I said, "Well, do you think people can do that here? People do that here?" I said, "Oh, you don't know. Here they do even better. I said, what? I said, yeah, they do even more than that. I said, I've never seen it. I said, you can't see it, but it's even better. Then I said, Holy Spirit, give me the revelation, please. I want to tell this daughter something. And then I said, hey, think about this. How many missionaries do we have in the world? I said, I don't know. There are a lot. There are a lot. I said, yeah. Where do they come from? I said, they come this side. So, yeah. So what is bigger, giving the khaki or giving your life to go to the mission field? He said, yeah, Dad, you're right. I said, yeah. People give more than you think. They give their life to God. So, brothers and sisters, it is time, as you're still living in this world, don't waste it. Use it properly. Serve the Lord. Worship him and give to the Lord. May God bless us in the name of Jesus.